On the Record
on News Talk.
Brought to you by SSE Airtricity Business Energy, providing 100% renewable energy to businesses all over Ireland. Energy at work for you.
Mary Lou MacDonald is the deputy leader of Sinn Féin since 2009 and TD for Dublin Central since 2011. She's one of the most high-profile women in Irish politics. And in November next month, Gerry Adams at Nord Dáis is due to seek re-election as the president of Sinn Féin, but also, he says, lay out more of his transition plans. Well, in the interview you're about to hear, Mary Lou MacDonald and myself discuss whether or not it's time for her and her party to give Gerry Adams a push, whether he's toxic for transfers and potentially Sinn Féin going into government. We discuss Mary Lou MacDonald's view on abortion versus her party's position and also the budget. But 3 weeks ago in this programme, the Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin described Sinn Féin as a cult-like entity with military discipline, with orders coming from the centre. Now, Sinn Féin has hit back at that. So when I started speaking to Mary Lou MacDonald in her constituency, I started by putting it to her that all of this week she's been talking about how Sinn Féin is the only real opposition party in Ireland. I put it to her that she's laying it on a bit thick.
Nominally, you have Micheál Martin and Fianna Fáil claiming that they are in opposition, but the reality is that they're not. The reality is that they have reached an agreement to keep Fine Gael in government. They kept Enda Kenny in as Taoiseach. They're now supporting Leo Varadkar as Taoiseach. And on Tuesday, when the budget is presented to the Dáil, they will politely look the other way and allow Fine Gael to motor on. So how on earth do you describe a party like that as a party of opposition? They are serious about their own future rather than the country's future. So I think we have every right to state unequivocally that we are the lead party of opposition, and we take the scrutiny and the criticism to the government as and when necessary on behalf of the people.
Very hard on Fianna Fáil. Weren't you in Fianna Fáil?
Well, my family, as your listeners will know, are traditionally a Fianna Fáil family. And yes, I was involved for a short time. I'm not the only person to have moved from Fianna Fáil. Fortunately, Chris, I saw the light. And I still have lots of friends in Fianna Fáil. I should probably say that as well, who I don't know how they receive. They never really tell me how they receive me criticising the party. I think some of them realise that at least some of the criticisms are actually due and worthy.
Some of my best friends are Fianna Fáilers.
The
pre-budget, the alternative budget that you guys produced, it is a comprehensive document, and we were talking beforehand and I was making the point to you that the lazy stick for Sinn Féin is that you don't do sums, you're weak on finance, Gerry has been weak on finance, but this is a very comprehensive document. So that's the position I come at it from. What do you have against people that earn more than €100,000?
Absolutely nothing. And the truth is, for somebody to earn a salary at that level, you have to have worked very, very hard, invested probably many years in your education, and you have to have touched very, very lucky. And this is not about begrudging anybody a fine wage and a good living. This is about creating the kitty, the finance stream, to ensure that we all live in a decent society. So this isn't, taxation isn't a mechanism to seek revenge against any group of people. That is not its purpose. But it is a mechanism to generate public funds for the public purse, to fund public services, and also to tackle some of the intergenerational and long-standing inequalities in Irish society. That's how we come at it. So what do I have against people earning €100,000 or more? Absolutely nothing. Our issue isn't with wealth. The issue we have is with poverty. Our issue isn't with people really excelling and doing really, really well. We applaud that and want to encourage it, but we want to make sure that everybody gets a decent and a fair chance.
It was described as anti-business because, as well as the employee, if you like, there is also 268 or 65 million of increased PRSI on businesses. So you would be, is that not double taxation, your third rate, both the employee and the employer?
No, I think you find that our rate of social insurance paid by the employer actually in relative terms is low. So we're trying to bring the state and this jurisdiction in line with international standards. And we're also, we make no apology for this, because we're very aware that any party that comes forward and suggests that they're going to raise any taxation measures, it's not a popular thing. You're not met with a round of applause for suggesting that. But at the same time, we are very, very conscious that we need to create the funds to invest properly in health, in housing, in childcare, which is one of the main measures that we've brought forward in this budget. And actually for everybody in society, including people who earn high salaries, including those who earn in excess of €100,000, it's to their benefit too that the health system works, that education works, that childcare is tackled, the cost of childcare is tackled for families. So those are collective wins.
And you have in the document spelt out 2 billion of tax increases and how you would do them, 13 tax measures. But one of the things, and I was at your press conference and I've heard the interviews this week, you're saying, you know, our third rate of tax, and that's the headline grabber, 97% of taxpayers would not, that wouldn't affect them. So it's the 3%, if you like, the richest. But when you go into your 13 measures, like putting inheritance tax up 3%, that would affect a lot of Sinn Féin voters. That would affect a lot more than just 3% of the voters, but the family home.
And the commitment that we have made in terms of the 97% of the population is that their income tax will not be affected. So, and that is clear from the document, but you're right. There is an increase in inheritance tax. And yes, that affects you if you inherit property or you inherit wealth. And again, you might say, well, why would you do that? The only rational basis for doing that is that as a society, not alone do we have to balance our books, as we are reminded, that's a necessary thing to do. But there's no point in us lamenting the fact that there are, what, almost 600,000 people on medical waiting lists, that we have people sleeping in tents and, on, you know, on park benches, that, you know, that middle-income families are carrying essentially a second mortgage because childcare is such a burgeoning cost and the state has failed to invest in that. There's no point in us giving out about those things if we're not prepared to say, right, well, to fix them, we need to actually take remedial measures and to invest. And to invest funds, you have to, first of all, raise the funds.
Just on the inheritance tax, Mary Lou, we're sitting here in the North Strand in your constituency. I'm from a constituency. I'm from Drimna, South Central, another Sinn Féin stronghold. And there are huge social problems in those constituencies. And people are told to work hard, to educate, for their children to be the first in the family to go to third level. And that is happening. And people aspire to home ownership. Mm-hmm. After all of that work and after working hard and after raising good kids to pass that on. Mm-hmm. But your inheritance tax measure would take an extra 3% to that. And it is a low threshold. I wish my parents' house doesn't cost 10 times what they paid for it 30 years ago, but it does. Your tax measure would take from them passing that on to their children and take from people around here as well.
Look, I understand that there is not just a financial but a huge sentimental attachment to particularly a family home and passing that on and keeping it in the family, as it were. And all of that is sound. But I think we have to make a distinction for all of us as people between things that are earned and things that are inherited wealth and, you know, or assets, including a family home that's inherited. And it is a matter of equity, because just as you say your family home or your parents' home and how it's valued now, I mean, there's lots and lots of people who will work as hard as you, who are as good a person as you, who are deserving as the same opportunities as you, and they're not going to inherit anything from anybody. And again, that's not to begrudge those that inherit from their people or from their families who have worked very hard. More power to their elbow. But we have to use, as I said earlier, taxation mechanisms to fund the services that we all use on the one hand, but also as mechanisms to kind of intervene in the happenstance or the circumstances of life, just to even things out. It's not to punish people. It's to live within a reality that we have to pay for things and also that we do actually, in our view, have an obligation to intervene and to make society fairer.
Talk to me about Sinn Féin. Let's get out of Dublin. Do you have a bullying problem in your organisation? A few people have gone overboard and it has been painted as people who are not willing to follow the diktat from the top down, people who are independently minded. Your response?
Well, I would say to you that we are a party full of independent-minded people. I'm quite independent-minded myself, and I wouldn't tolerate or be part of an organisation that operates by diktat. And I know that that is the manner in which the stereotype that's promoted by certain elements of the media. It's not
but
true.
But to be fair, you all go along with the line that Gerry wasn't in the IRA. Is that not a diktat?
It's not a diktat. I mean, Gerry answers for Gerry. That's it. I mean, I can't intervene. I can't help those that choose not to take him on his word or who disbelieve that. If I could say so, that's kind of between them and him. I have to take people on their word, and I can only answer questions that I have the full information on. But leaving that,
let's go to bullying though.
That particular
are people
that's what
pushed
you're
out?
Asking me,
yeah, are people
no.
pushed out? Are they silenced?
No.
Are they problems?
No.
You confronted the Garda Commissioner on calling whistleblowers disgusting.
Yes.
We know what the Gardaí have done, but are whistleblowers in Sinn Féin treated like they're disgusting?
No, absolutely not. Nor are they. And anybody who's inside or outside the party and has a criticism or a view of the party is absolutely entitled to voice it. And I encourage people within the party on areas where we need to improve, where things don't go right for us, where people have concerns or dissatisfaction, to say that. People need to say that. And then as an organisation, as a party, all of us have to try and put things to right. I tell you what I think has happened. The party has grown very, very quickly in a relatively short period of time, particularly in the South. And I think what has happened is that there has been different local circumstances where people have fallen out, where there have been disputes on many different issues. And in many cases, they haven't been handled as they might have been. Does that amount to an endemic problem with bullying? No. And I would also say that we need to be careful in using the term bullying. Bullying is a very awful experience. It's a horrible thing to be bullied. It's not to be mistaken with falling out with somebody, not liking somebody, having a different view from somebody, etc., etc. So we're a human organisation like any other. We are not perfect. I make absolutely no claim to perfection. Are we riven with what's termed a bullying culture? No, we are not. We have processes, we have procedures. I encourage people all of the time to make use of them. And I want to be in a party where there is a good atmosphere, where there's a good sense of loyalty to each other, not blind loyalty, but camaraderie.
Well, having said that, yeah. Then, do you want to lead that party? Do you want to be the leader of Sinn Féin?
As and when there is a vacancy, I will hope that my name will go forward. And yes, I would at some stage like to lead Sinn Féin. Yes.
Is it not time to give him a bit of a push?
No, it's not, Chris. And today you're interviewing me on the man's birthday, and I'm shocked that you would suggest that.
Well, what's he going to do with this Ardèche? You know, we all went up to Meath, Loudmead border. Gerry had a big announcement, and that announcement was I'll be seeking re-election for the 35th time or something.
Yes.
What's he going to say at this Ardèche? He also said he'd be laying out his plans.
Exactly. So he'll be laying out his plans at the November Ardèche, and he will set out his stall at that stage. It's what, about 6 weeks away now. We have been engaged with all of our grassroots right across the country in looking forward to the next 10 years. So, you know, the 10-year plan that we will sign off on is not something that's been handed down on tablets of stone from on high. It's something that's very much generated from the grassroots.
And you're moving off my question. What's he going to do?
Part of that is transition in leadership. We haven't made any secret of the fact, and Gerry has made no secret of the fact, that we're a party in transition. And he has told you that he will set things out in November, and that's for him to set out in November, not for me to set out in October.
But I have a theory, and it could be complete balderdash, that Gerry Adams is going to do a Trevor Sargent. He will lead you to election, but he won't lead Sinn Féin into a government, into a coalition government. Mm. That would be for someone else.
Okay, that's an interesting theory.
Well, here's the thing. The parties aren't going to touch Gerry Adams in government. They would touch you or somebody else, but they're not going to coalesce with Gerry Adams.
Listen, all of that is very interesting theorising and is your view on things.
You're acting like it's the first time it's ever crossed your mind.
Well, that doesn't cross my mind, because that's not where my mind is at. We will, in a very orderly and in a very thoughtful way, in Sinn Féin, deal with our business. And Gerry will set out his stall in November. And then, as they say, all will be revealed.
But OK, my proposition is that Gerry Adams is toxic for coalition government, but Sinn Féin is not.
Well, look, Gerry isn't toxic. Gerry, as a leader, and he's been our leader for quite some time, as you say, has been actually a revolutionary Sinn Féin leader. If viewed in the fullness of time, I think people will recognise the massive achievements from the 80s, from the moment that he became the president of Sinn Féin, the manner in which Gerry moved Republican politics in Sinn Féin forward in a thoughtful, patient and strategic way. Gerry has been and remains an electoral asset and a political asset to Sinn Féin.
Well, hold on now. Donegal, Cavan, Cork, you mentioned. I had a look at Longford Westmeath's numbers last night. You were leapfrogged for that seat by transfers. Were they not the Gerry seats that were left behind last year?
Hold on. We also came back with 23 Dáil seats and seven senators. I mean, that's a record high for Sinn Féin.
23 was impressive. Listen, and it, 23, it put Sinn Féin onto the board absolutely. In a way never before, but it should have been 27.
Listen, I want it to be 37, 47, 57. I want us to win as many seats as we can. And you're right, we left some of them behind. We left Johnny Mython in Wexford behind, Rose Conway Walsh above in Mayo behind. I know where we came close, but we just didn't make it.
And was that not because of Gerry? Toxic for transfers?
No, I don't think that is a fair assessment of what happened in the campaign.
One of the big things we will be going to the people on is the Eighth Amendment. You're one of the highest profile women in Irish politics. I don't know if that gives you a more pronounced role, but you're certainly one of the women in leadership. Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself a feminist, first of all?
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on what needs to happen? If you could prescribe where we will be this time 12 months.
12 months. I think the absolute imperative and the priority is to repeal the Eighth Amendment from the Constitution. That is the key to all else.
Do you believe in a woman's right to choose in any circumstance?
My politics and my view is decidedly pro-choice, and I've never made any bones about that. Everybody who knows me knows my personal standing and position.
Yeah, but your party is kind of the important thing, because you won't have a free vote. You, Mary Lou MacDonald.
No, we have a very firm view that party policy, as agreed at an Oireachtas, is what we, as elected representatives, representing not ourselves but representing our communities, our constituencies, that is what we are guided by.
Just hold on, back up the truck there for a second, because that means if the party decides on something, let's say, more conservative than your personal view, you'll vote with that?
No, what it means is that all of us as individuals come together, put the facts and our opinions on the table, the matter is debated, the matter is considered and concluded at our Oireachtas. And when Sinn Féin policy is arrived at, that's the policy of Sinn Féin.
Yeah, but why on this one? So you will vote with party over people?
No, I won't. I will vote for, and I will campaign for, the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. That is the position of Sinn Féin. That is our...
That's not what I'm asking, because repeal is really a tiny part of the question. The big part is what happens next.
No.
And your personal view is a woman's right to choose.
Hold on. I don't accept that the repeal the Eighth is a small part of it. Repealing the Eighth Amendment is key to all else. In the event that the Eighth Amendment is not repealed, we remain where we are now. Repealing the Eighth Amendment is the first order of business, Chris. And thereafter, there has to be a legislative framework and a regulatory framework to set in place that enjoys democratic support, but that protects women's rights and enables doctors to do their job.
No, but you believe in a woman's right to choose. But if your party believes in something more conservative than that, you will vote for that.
But I'm a member of Sinn Féin. When you join a political party, one of the things that you do, and it's one of the, I suppose, the disciplines of being a member of the party, is that you accept that you bring your view, you argue your position vigorously, along with others, but that you accept that when a collective decision is made, after a full and frank debate, and in good conscience and freely, that that is the position of the party. You're not speaking to me as... Hold on.
Can I put it to you, though, that the 23 of you have a bigger job than party? You have a privileged job with another 100 yes. or so people as parliamentarians.
Absolutely.
And the other two parties have given a free vote, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil.
Let me answer that. You're not speaking to me as Mary Lou MacDonald, individual Dublin woman, Mary Lou MacDonald. That's not why I'm of interest or significance to you. You're speaking to me because I'm an elected representative, I'm a TD for Sinn Féin, and I'm the deputy leader of the party. So I'm speaking to you in that context.
But you're telling me you're willing to accept something short of what you believe in.
No, I am telling you that we are not going to do what other political parties have done, trying to paint up necessity as some kind of virtue and saying, listen, you can all have a free vote and do whatever you want.
Is that not a diktat?
Because
if Mary Lou, the Dublin woman, believes in a woman's right to choose, but then because of your party, you go along with something short of that.
No. I bring that view and we debate that out. And then as a party...
But if you lose, you let your view go.
But you see, then, Chris, if that's how you process not just this issue, by the way, but the whole plethora of other issues.
This is a big societal one. This isn't tax.
Lots of stuff is big societal stuff. And I disagree with you. We could have a whole other conversation around the notion that this is uniquely a moral issue in Irish politics. I don't accept that. But let me get back to my point. If you are determined that you are not going to operate within a grassroots structure, that you are not going to be part of something that's bigger than yourself in sort of collective politics, well, then you have to be an independent.
Could you see a scenario ever in your lifetime, finally, where Sinn Féin coalesces in a government with Fine Gael?
I think that would be very difficult. I think we have very, very different political histories, viewpoints, vantage points and so on. I think that there would be no great appetite, shall we say, within our grassroots or within our, and not just the party, but the people that we represent, to be propping up Fine Gael, if I can use that that term. But I will say this to you, that I do envisage a time when we are in government, and the key to that would be the programme for government, because there'd be no point in Sinn Féin making up the numbers around a cabinet table or just being in government for the sake of it, you know, for the banner headlines of it, or that would be an exercise in pointlessness. So I think the actual question isn't so much could you see yourself in government with Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or anyone else. The question is there a possibility to agree a programme for government that's Republican, that's radical, that delivers change, that isn't the same old, same old, same. And I hope that the answer to that question is yes.
You've changed my question. My question was about Fine Gael. It was, could you see Sinn Féin and Fine Gael coalescing? And you didn't say no.
No, I said to you at this point in time that would be a very, very difficult proposition. I think it's unlikely. I don't think that's going to happen, if you're asking my view. I'll go back to our grassroots and I just remind you, I'm not going to make that call. And you might say, well, that's a terrible diktat from your grassroots, but the party membership would make a call and all of that. And I'm telling you, for me, my view is that the what of government is more important, actually, than the who.
That was Mary Lou MacDonald, TD for Dublin Central, speaking to me in her constituency on the North Strand there, close to the Five Lamps on Friday. And that is an interesting point, and that doesn't just apply to Sinn Féin, by the way. Whenever the next election and its result emerges, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin will all have party votes on whether or not to go into a proposed coalition. Whew, interesting times.
On the record, on News Talk.
Brought to you by SSE Airtricity Business Energy, providing 100% renewable energy to businesses all over Ireland. Energy at work for you.